Are you a small business owner looking to scale your business and your profits? Are you looking for strategies to find balance in your life as an entrepreneur? Stay tuned while Craig Staley, founder of HG Site Design, a website design and marketing agency, shares strategies from successful small business owners, authors, and experts on how to do just that. Let's join Craig as he explores how we can all take our businesses to the next level on the Small Business School podcast.
Welcome back to the Small Business School podcast. My guest today is Chris Ward. She is the founder of Win the Hour, Win the Day. And Chris has some great tips for being efficient within your business. I think a lot of us start out really doing everything and wearing every hat, and we're doing the social media and we're doing the billing and the bookkeeping and the sales and onboarding of clients and whatever there is to do. Many of us are doing all of it, or at least started out that way. And Chris really talks about how to get out of that cycle and how to start building your team and when the right time to build a team is. So a lot of great advice. And I know it's pain and struggle that I've gone through. Maybe you're going through it as well. So a lot of great tips on the show today with our guest, Chris Ward. All right. I'd like to welcome my next guest today, Chris Ward. She is the founder of Win the Hour, Win the Day. How are you today, Chris?
I am great. I'm thrilled to be here.
We're excited to have you on. I've got to say, before we get started, I get a lot of people that request to be on the show or send me an email or reach out to me on Facebook. And by far, the way that you reached out was the most unique. I honestly did not even look into what your book was about before that. I just said yes, because I thought anyone that has that type of reach out to be a guest on a show must have something important to say. So just kudos for the way you reached out. That was awesome.
Well, thank you. That's the whole game plan. I'm like, listen, if I want you to give me your time, I better make it worthwhile, right?
Yeah. That was awesome. And you can tell you put a lot of thought and effort into that. And I'm going to steal pieces of it, just so you know.
Fair enough.
Before we dig in a little bit deeper, can you give us a little bit of your background?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So this is a part that people always sort of like the crux of the story. I started my business quite a while back, I'd say over 12 years ago, as a marketing strategist. And like so many entrepreneurs, oh my gosh, those first 2 years, I was working day and night. Like I was exhausted. As my husband would often say, he kept saying I was stealing from sleep, like getting up earlier and earlier and staying later and later, right? And it didn't take long. You go about 6 months without sleep and you start to realize that you are losing your charm and you're not the warm human being that you used to be. And I would start to see like, oh, you know, like I was like a little drug addict, always running off trying to answer an email, right? Somebody'd say, oh, we're ready at the front door. And I'd be like, get there. And they didn't have their shoes on. I'm like, I could have got two more emails in. Like, what the heck, right? So I just thought one day, this can't go on. And I, you know, moving the story forward, I said, all right, I got to feverishly examine, you know, what's happening here. And I went from really working 16 hours a day down to six. Now I'm skimming over that. We'll unpack that a little bit later, but just to move the story forward, I turned it around. And one of the biggest lessons I learned, I could not believe how much I had been working against myself. It was just so counterproductive, right? Mm-hmm. But luckily I had turned around, because it was a couple of years after that my husband had been diagnosed with colon cancer. And when I was pulled away from the business, you know, I was pulled away for about almost 2 years. And when I returned, my existing clients had no idea of my absence, and they were shocked when they heard about my husband's passing. They didn't know, they had knew nothing. They didn't know how, you know, how did I manage that? I didn't feel it was good for business. We were also very positive in nature. So we felt that if the doctors were wrong, we sat around crying and holding hands for 2 years. If the doctors were right, then we sat around the last 2 years crying and holding hands. So we just thought, this isn't a plan. So when I returned to work after his passing, my existing clients started to, you know, speak to me about the fragility of life and how they're missing soccer games and they're working evenings and weekends, and could I help them? And so I believe that a business should support your life, not consume it, and that life has interruptions. So I thought, let me see how I can help these people. And that really essentially is how it all started with Win the Hour, Win the Day. And then I thought, how can I reach more people? Because you know, you guys out there, you look good on paper, you're showing up in social media, you're doing it all, but you're working day and night and nobody like keeps track of all that. So you don't even know how bad the situation is. So I thought, let me write the book and see if I can reach some people that way. And so that's how it all started, Craig.
That's amazing. And it's funny, as soon as you said you kind of would run off like an addict to go answer an email, I thought of myself because just, I think it was last week, I do most of the cooking in the house and my wife was upstairs doing something and I was starting dinner and I had some chicken I was going to turn into tacos and I put it on the stove with a little bit of water to kind of, it was, we had frozen it. And next thing I know, I go to plug in my laptop and it's like, well, let me just answer one email. And I got in a kind of a rabbit hole of email. And then all of a sudden I thought, oh no, the chicken. And I ran into the kitchen, which is near my office. And here smoke is billowing out of the pan. Our two kids are in the living room watching TV, not even paying attention. I thought, oh boy, you know, so there's an example of, you know, we just try to find every little minute of the day to try to, you know, answer an email or get this done or add one more thing to our plate.
My book opens with a fire in the kitchen. And I also nearly electrocuted myself one day because I was in such a rush. I call myself a recovering rushaholic. But like when your husband sits you down and asks you not to burn the house down in the most warmest way, like you cannot say he did not ask, right? And that's exactly it. Like, I'll just answer this one more email. And then I'd set a timer. Oh, I heard the timer. Okay, I'll stop this email. Oh, how long ago did that timer go? So yes, there is a different way to live. And the way you're doing it, it gets dangerous quickly, right?
Yeah, apparently. I need to read the book.
Yeah.
So tell us, I mean, you've kind of started to touch on it, but tell us the philosophy behind Win the Hour and Win the Day.
Yeah. So Win the Hour, Win the Day, we break it down into three things. We talk about team, time, and toolkits. And those are the fundamentals in your business. And really, essentially, Win the Hour, Win the Day is, look, if you can break it down, if you can win the hour, you can win the day. And too many things in the entrepreneur world, you guys, you get it. You just got these big clumps of things like, oh, I'm going to make this happen. And it's just this big project. And there's no beginning, middle, or end. And it gets so confusing so fast. And it's kind of like even something super simple, like think about if you can picture, let's say you're holding a potted plant in your left hand and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to keep this plant alive. This is going to be my new thing. I'm going to have house plants. And then it goes well. And you think, this is amazing. I'm going to get a second plant. Awesome. And then you start to feel really confident. You think, you know what I'm going to do now? I want you guys to imagine this. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a farm. Well, the only difference between the houseplant and the farm is the output. And what happens with entrepreneurs is you guys, you think, oh, when I get one client, I get two, I get three, great. And then you don't understand like the infrastructure, the support system, everything isn't going to organically fall into play. That's a whole different thing. That's a whole different career. That's where I spend my, you know, thousands of hours and dollars perfecting this, enhancing it. But we all think, okay, well, now let's say I got five clients. I got six. Okay. Oh, I lost one. Oh, I got to go get one. Oh, I got to onboard that one. And so then you have nothing that supports you or the business. So you are forever, literally, Craig, as you just said, literally putting out fires.
You are the business. And so everything falls on your shoulders.
You're a sufferpreneur because you're not a business. It's like watching TV and saying you're an athlete because you're watching sports. When you are the business, then that is not a business. You are a sufferpreneur and all you have to do is slip on ice and break your arm and you are in a hot mess.
The business is over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when would you say is the right time to start building a team?
I think that's probably the number one question we get at our website, www.winthehourwintheday.com. And what I would say is I would tell you like day one or day zero. Okay. Because you can't afford not to. And if you think I can't afford it, then that's when you really need it. So let me give you a little example. I know back in what I call the dark days, those years I was going without sleep the first couple of years. And I thought, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I can't afford help. Like this is nuts. Like they don't even print enough money right now. How much I need. I'm just working so hard. So at that point, I was still doing physical appointments. I went virtual a long time ago because even if somebody was 10 minutes down the street, I realized, oh, I could hit them on Skype and get to the next appointment. But at this point, I was going out as a marketing strategist. I would sit there and I would make all these notes on their custom plan and stuff like that. And what was happening is I would promise hand to God that when I got back to the office, I would write the notes into the computer, into their file. It would be fine. Now, that like never happened. And if I was lucky, I got it in Friday afternoon. Most of the time it was next Friday. And sometimes these potential clients would call and ask questions. And then I'm scrambling and they can hear it, my voice. And I'm trying to make sure I don't misquote them, because then it looked like I'm trying to swindle them, when in fact, I just had these notes that were meant for 20 minutes, not for 2 weeks. So I thought, this cannot be. I just couldn't carry the stress. And so at that time, I found a transcriptionist. Now, this was her thing. I don't understand it, but she only wanted to do this. So she had like 10 clients. And so what happened was, some weeks I needed her for 3 or 4 hours, some weeks I needed her for none, because she was so good at what she did and only did that. The weeks I needed her for like 3, 4 hours, it cost me $12. So I spent $12, got all of Friday afternoon back, got rid of the stress, never lost a client because I fumbled the ball on something. And I just thought, this is crazy. And that was really a big aha. Like, I heard angels, oh, like this, there's a way out of this. And that was the beginning of learning. And there's a lot I learned over the years, which is how we now really guide people that we work with, whether it's private, semi-private, in our new Winner's Circle Masterclass. It's really about creating the win team. So you, what is next team, so you can get to what is next. She let me get to what is next.
Got it. And so as you were building, you know, you offloaded that transcription, which was obviously something fairly easy to offload. Would you go to what is next and kind of work that for a while before you offloaded it? Or was it like, what's next that I can offload?
So here's the operating principle in which I govern. I would say 90% of entrepreneurs are constantly crawling out of the web of admin almost 100% of the time. Like, it's frightening, right? They're just crawling out of the web of admin. And I believe in what we call the 60-40 win formula. So you should be in creation mode 60% of the time and admin mode 40% of the time, because you didn't start a business to run a business, right? So you had a job with the same work that you repeated and recycled, and that's fine. So you should be in creation mode, because you always need to be moving it forward. That's what you did. You wanted to do something different and creative. And whether it's starting a podcast, writing a book, writing a second book, doing group coaching, whatever it is you want to do to have a bigger impact on your audience, make more money, and do it all in less time. That's the creation mode, right? So I believe very much in staying in that zone 60-40. Now, what happens is, there's so many things that I know. One of the last things somebody is asking about is the biggest thing I learned is, I didn't even know we now have a super toolkit that sets it up so that my team can take courses. There's very few things. Like, I have one really expensive mentor that I meet with once a month. I do that. But everything else, we have a super toolkit in play, so they could even take a course, spoon feed it to me. We've got everything in play. If they left tomorrow, we still have all this, everything there. And so what I would argue is, this idea of, oh, okay, I have to learn something now, and then it goes through me, and then I assign it to the next thing. That really still is, you're the bottleneck. And it's slowing you down. It's costing you money. It's costing a lot of money.
Got it. What would you say, and maybe you just answered it, maybe you have a different answer for it, but what would you say is the most common mistake you see people make when they start building their team?
Yeah, I would think the most common mistake is, what happens is, this is based on the corporate world. So what happens is, you hire somebody. So when we are working with our coaching clients, whether it's private, semi-private, or in our Winner's Circle, is we help them. We, for the most part, we would find, hire, train, and help them onboard their new person. Now, why we do that is, we want them to have success right away, and we work with them to onboard and train that person. All right. Now, what happens is, the corporate world, it's a very parentified system. You hire somebody, you give them work, you just throw tasks at them, then you lean over and you monitor that work and you're checking on them. And as entrepreneurs will say, listen, I don't even have time to do my work. Now you're creating a new job for me. I have to supervise them, right? So what happens is, it's like a teacher student, it's like a parent child. And so, is it the biggest mistake, or it's all you've been taught? Whereas my team really manages me, and not just me, but all my clients have the same setup. So that's a big part of it. And another thing is, too often you bring in somebody, or I hear this all the time, oh, I'm going to hire an online business manager, and they're going to come in, they're going to clean up my act. Well, you can't pay for someone to work for you, and then they parent up, right? So you can't hire a VA and say, okay, here's a hot mess. You figure it out. They can't redirect you and say, look, I told you that last week, you have no systems. You don't give me the password. That's not how it goes, right? So misunderstanding what the potential is there, it does need some setup. Now, dancing away from that subject, the reaction a lot of people do is what I call the three Ds. They think, oh, okay, listen, I'll do it myself and this will be quicker. And that's where I lean in and say, let's say, for example, to keep the math really simple, that you could sell a package, Craig, for $100. And then you say, listen, okay, now tonight at 4, 5, 6 o'clock, when I should be cooking chicken and whatever, I'm nibbling away at this thing I have to do on the computer. And what happens is you are now billing your company that $100 because you're thinking you're saving your money, but you're actually, you would not pay somebody $100 an hour to do that. And that's what you're doing. And that's the damaging overhead. And then the delayed income, the second D, is what about that client you got in June, but you could have gotten February? How much money did you miss there? And what if they just referred you to one person? And then the most painful one is diminished opportunity when somebody says, Craig, I wish I knew that you did that or I ran into you sooner because you were just so buried in emails and doing all this admin work. I already hired somebody and I'm in this commitment. And now that you've got the lifetime value of that customer, and what if they referred one person? So that's where people spend a lot of money thinking they're saving money and it's extremely costly.
That makes a lot of sense. So if you're an entrepreneur that's burning chicken in the kitchen right now and you don't have a team, what's the first thing that they should, after this podcast, sit down and do? What are their next steps to take action and start building that team?
Yeah. So most of my clients tell me within the first month of working with us, they get 25 hours back a week, right? So what I want you to understand, if you learn nothing else today, I want you to understand that it's not about being organized or, you know, I used to think I could outrun the clock. Like I'm a recovering rushaholic, like get out of my way. You don't know how fast I can go, right? And again, it does not make you the most likable person in the room. Like, I'm sorry, you're talking slow. You need, I don't have time for that, right? Yeah. TikTok, I need to get 4 more things done in the next 2 minutes, right? So what I would say to you is I want you to understand, like, and sometimes people say to me, but Chris, I'm not very organized. And I'm like, yeah, but that's a downfall because then you just keep reorganizing yourself. Like, imagine like a screw in a wall and you've got a screwdriver and you're turning and turning it. You just strip the screw. So I used to do that. I'd like reorganize this, all to organize this tighter and just keep, and it was just a lot of wasted energy. So what I want people, more than what they can do, I want them to understand that there is a difference between hiring somebody and having a win team. And that it is not a matter of you working harder and all that stuff you see online, grinding it out. I have never met an entrepreneur that need to be inspired and motivated. And that's whatever. That's just, you know, somebody making a wonderful hero's journey out of an ill-planned trip, right? So there's that. But what I would say is it is about hiring somebody, but there is a process to that. Now, I'll whip you through this really quick just so you understand the formula, but there is more to it. So reach out to me and I'll give you some tips. But at the very basics, I call it the pass. When we're hiring, we hire personality, action, strengths, and success. So we always hire personality over skill set because you can train a skill set. You can't train a personality. We always direct them to a couple of actions in the hiring process, even if it's they applied through this platform. And then we say, can you respond in this email? Tell us you're going to attend the interview. We want to see when they respond, how they respond, how they communicate. We give them a mini test when they get to the second interview. We also ask them, what is a success for them? You would be shocked what people tell you and what they determine to be a success. I have a friend who's in HR and, like, you know, it could be something like, well, this guy cut me off today in traffic and I usually hang out the window and do all these things, but today I just honked aggressively. You're like, oh, good to know. Thank you. Right. And people will tell you things. So you want to hear what they determine, and it doesn't have to be work related. They could just say, look, you know, I've been out of shape and all of a sudden I had this goal and I planned over the last 6 weeks and I ran 5K and here's why I'm so proud. It is how they detail it that makes it different. And then of course, strengths. What do they determine their strengths to be? You have to be able to articulate that. And more than anything, you're listening how they articulate themselves. So that's something you can put in your pocket. But really the bigger picture I want you to understand is the concept of you really truly are, no wonder it's a heavy burden because you don't have a what is next team and you don't have an infrastructure really in the business, right? It's like 52 pickup every day. And that's why it's so difficult.
Makes sense. So If you had to say what your biggest challenge that you faced in business was, what would you say is your biggest challenge and what did you do to overcome it?
I think my biggest challenge was it took me a long time to understand that I thought when I had to do something, like I wanted to show up prepared and that I was, you know, being like, I wanted people to know I was doing my homework. I was prepared and I just, the performance. And now I realize, I mean, I never aligned myself with the word perfectionist because I didn't understand the word. I was like, no, I'm not perfect. I'm not even trying to be perfect. I'm just trying to show up prepared. And so what I had to understand for a long time was you put stuff out there, you get feedback, don't make a course. And then we're all the graphics, make it look all good and do all this stuff. You put something out, you get feedback, you adjust. I mean, hello, Bill Gates is a quadrillionaire and he's been doing that quite successfully. But we all think like, oh, I'm going to put this project out, whatever. Let's say you're doing a course. So then you make all the videos instead of selling the course first and then having them drip in week by week and getting feedback. So it took me a long time to understand like, that is just all kinds of dumb. And I thought it was showing up prepared and professional and doing all that foolishness. That was a sadly long, painful lesson that I should have caught on quicker.
I think that's a lesson a lot of us have to learn over time. What would you say has been the best moment in your business's history so far?
I don't know. Even in people ask you that about your life, I think a life well-lived or a business well-run is moments. So I can't think of, I mean, I was really proud when I got my book out. My husband was my biggest fan. And I just think, honest to God, it's almost like a blessing he's not here because you would not pass him in a hall at work and he'd be waving that at you. He would just wear them down, right? So that would be exhausting to anyone that spent time with him. Same thing with the podcast. He loved boring, awful, just dry talk radio long before podcasts were invented.
Yeah.
And I thought, the podcast. So the ability to get myself out there in platforms that I wouldn't have saw myself as an author, as a podcaster, you know, putting my big girl pants on and thinking, look, you know, when I look on my phone and I see my podcast cover next to one that I listen to that, you know, all the ones that I think are so respectful, like it's in the same pile. And I had that same rush one time. I took my book and I put it on a pile of books I was reading, you know, on my desk. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's such respect for the books underneath that book. And mine is in that pile and it may be in the pile of somebody else on somebody else's desk. So I think that's kind of fun when you catch glimpses of it.
One question I didn't ask earlier when you mentioned it. So today you said you went from about 16 hours a day down to about 6.
Yeah.
What are your major focuses today in your business? What do you spend the most time doing today?
I do anything that absolutely only Chris can do. So I even say to my team, like, I don't mind having my picture taken. I'm fine with that. I can even do all the selfies myself and it's fine, but it's time consuming. And I keep saying like to Evan going, oh, if I could figure out how you could, like, I don't have time for this. If I could figure out how you could take pictures and be me, we'd be done. And every once in a while, I tried to scare him and I say, look, I've got this down pat now. There's no reason why I can't give you notes and you go do podcasts. And then his eyes just start to flutter and he doesn't know if I'm joking. So my team is set up for anything I have to do, Chris. So when I show up to build a relationship with you or be a guest on your show, when I'm hosting my show, when the hour, when the day, it's just, you know, how to get your next win now. It's general. It could be anything from sales, social media. When I'm doing coaching, but now we have the Winner's Circle group coaching, but everything is set up. So let's say there's 10 steps. I don't do the first 8, but I show up, I guess, really like a performer. I don't take the tickets at the gate or set up the chairs, but now it's time for me to be on stage. Here we go. So only the stuff that absolutely Chris has to show up for to be Chris, that's the stuff I do.
Perfect. Who do you consider a mentor and what would you say is the most important lesson they taught you?
Wow. I think there's so many mentors that crossed your path and I learned all of them. And I think it is back to not only trying to make things perfect, but learning how to simplify things. Don't try to plan 15 steps ahead. You can definitely overthink things. And I always thought that I came from that, from a position of caring and that like I was doing a good job, right? They teach you that in school, all the details, write these big long essays, do all this stuff, right? So learning how to simplify it and then fill in later more and more, that's something that I really learned in the last couple of years. And I can hear different mentors in my head saying, you know, just get it up, right? Get it out. You know, so that's just get it done, get it out, and then build on the success.
Yeah, I think the thing I think about sometimes too is what our thought of perfection for whatever that is, whether it's a, you know, a coaching class or something like that, might not be what our customers thought of perfection is. So why not get their feedback before we quote unquote perfect it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know what? This is shameful to tell you. I should know better. But here's the thing. When I wrote my book, even as a marketing strategist, I knew I should be out there talking about it. But I was still kind of, you know, it was after my husband. I just didn't want to be just chatting it up for chatting it up and on social media. And even though I always do what I can say, if I say I'm going to do it, I do it. Right. And even someone said to me, oh my gosh, you wrote a book. I said, I was going to write a book. And they said, yeah, everyone says that. Right. So I just thought I'd rather show you what I did than tell you what I'm going to do. So I didn't do a great job of marketing that before it came out. And then because I had the experience offline and then I wrote the book, I then put out a course saying, you don't understand. I know this. This situation is different because I have all this offline experience. I wrote the book based on experience. Now I'm writing a course. This is different. Well, there's many components to the book as we talk about team, time, and toolkits. So I focused on one part, more on the time part in the book. And when I put it to market, everyone wanted to hear about the toolkits and the team. And I wrote this whole course with the graphics and did all this stuff because, oh no, as we all say, my business is different. I know this to be true. And it's like, you ding dong, you know, if that was one of your clients, you'd say, but I should have put stuff out, got feedback and saw, here's, you know, it's like fruit in a basket. Here's some fruit, which you want an apple. Oh, but more people were selling more oranges. Okay, fine. So I've made all kinds of mistakes. We could do a 6-week Netflix series here on that, but it is, you know, we all think our situation is different and it's just sadly not. Get feedback, course correct, move forward.
Well, I think we've driven that one home today. So before we get to the last question, where can our listeners find out more about you, more about your business, the book?
Yeah. You know, on any of the socials, reach out, tell me that you heard me on this fantastic podcast and we'll become fast friends. I also have, you know, a gift, free gift. So you make sure it's not like a gift, but free gift, G-I-F-T from Chris, K-R-I-S.com. And in that we have the ultimate guide to getting 200 free tech hours. We have had about 35 students now. Most people do not know that North America and Europe, they have co-op students in high school and college. And this year alone, we had 800 free hours because each semester they have to do 200 hours. They love it because they don't have to get homework and they get work experience, all this stuff. And we've had about 35 over the years. And so we'll show you the step-by-step on how to do that. So free gift from Chris, KRIS.com.
Sounds good. Well, we'll link that in the show notes and I'm going to check that out. I had no clue. So that's awesome. Last question. If you could hop into a time machine and go back to the day that you started your first business, what piece of advice would you give your past self?
Yeah, just really nailing home what we discussed here. Lighten up, get stuff out, get a team right away. There was just no reason. I was exhausted. It was the first time in my life I stopped exercising because I was just trying not to throw up. I was so tired. Who had done exercising, right? So I really ran my health into the ground and it was just not fun. It wasn't fun to be around me. So there is an easier way. Business should be fun and it should support your life, not consume it.
That's great. Well, Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today and I really appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. There's nothing more someone can give you than their time. So I appreciate yours. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Small Business School podcast. If you like what you heard, please share it and leave a review. It would mean the world to us. If you are a small business owner or looking to start a business, join the Small Business School Facebook group. It's a private community of people focused on helping each other take their businesses to the next level. To learn more about our guest today or to be a feature guest on the Small Business School, go to craigstaley.com/podcast for more info.